there's been some things happening and, you know, headline social media news that, like, we just got to talk about.
Hola, everybody. This is Lucilania.
Hey, what's up? This is Steph coming at you live.
Two things. First, we got to talk about Freaknik. Freaknik documentary that's not even coming out anytime soon. They just announced that it's coming, but it's not like tomorrow. Like, it's, I think it's like 2024.
Yeah,
2024. But Bama's is sweating. They are, and they're searching, and now you're already seeing all this footage that people literally took the time to convert from VHS to digitize it, to put it on social media, or, you know, find some old news program, all this stuff, because people are scared. But it almost seems like it's kids scared of seeing their mother, mostly. I haven't really seen too many people saying, like, I'm really scared to see my daddy on some video raping a woman. Or my uncle, or my pastor, like, and which is why I want to talk about it, because one is wild how one, women weren't the only ones there,
no,
but yet the most of the conversation is surrounded like, oh, you about to see your mama, your auntie, you know, y'all was out there wearing nothing, dancing, and you see, and there's like this one picture where this lady is bent over and the man is spreading out her labia, and. Maybe she was consenting. Maybe she wasn't. We don't know. But we do know that there are plenty of things that have happened at that at down at Freaknik in Atlanta where women were not consenting. That plenty of women were saying, oh, like, we just went. We want to have fun. It's like spring break for Black people, which is what it's supposed to be. And a little bit of history that we found on Wikipedia. Freaknik was actually started by a group of sisters from Spelman who were from the DMV. It was the DMV club. Yeah, and I was like, us though? Us? Like, I mean, I ain't gonna spell, but you know, like, for real? But, it, you know, and they took the song, the name of the song from a name of a freak song or whatever. Did they anticipate it was going to turn into that? No, it was just a way of like, hey, you know, we're away from home, let's do this and have some fun and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, but even from people who I know lived down there during that time, like Unfit Christian talked about how like she lived down there, she was a kid, like she wasn't there as a, you know, high school, college student. And so like people who, she was like, people who live in Atlanta know that it became a thing that if you went outside, like you couldn't avoid it. And she's like, she was out with her mom and her siblings and, you know, like all these people, his mom and her mom's like trying to like pull them through the crowd. And she sees a woman on the ground surrounded by men, but you don't know at that age, you know, you know, there's noises coming from it and trigger warning. I'm talking about, you know, sexual assault. So if you, we can skip and I'll put a warning on the video and stuff. But she doesn't know if the sound that she's hearing from this woman as her mom is like, let's go, let's go, let's go, is a pleasure or not. And going home and seeing a news report about how a woman was sexually assaulted and raped at Freaknik, and it haunting her for all these years later, wondering if that woman that she saw on the ground as a child, surrounded by men and people like trying to see if that was what they were talking about and how that was not an isolated incident. And so, you know, I hope that they're doing a thorough job of telling the full story of Freaknik, because there are a lot of women and even probably some men, because that's, you know, let's be real, women are not the only ones that get sexually assaulted. That are, have likely been carrying shame because of trauma they experienced, whether it was that, whether it was just being groped, because there was a lot of people saying like, you know, they were just grabbing at our clothes and taking our clothes off. And we're like, we just da 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 da. Or, you know, thankfully that there were some men who noticed what was happening and were coming, and that these women were being attacked by these men and pulling at their clothes. And this one guy started yelling police to get them to go away, because that was the only thing that he could come with to get them out of there. And he went and was like, are you okay? I'm just, you know, that was the only thing I could think of doing. And they're like, thank you. And so, you know, it's like, this is, it could potentially be very triggering whenever this does come out. If they are doing, if they are telling the real full story. Yeah, I'm sure there were fun things and this and the other, but at the same time, because then there are a lot of people that are like, oh, I was at church. I was at church. I wasn't at Freaknik. I was at church. Let's also be real.
Yeah. And actually, I saw an article with a group of women. I think one's a politician and some other professional women who are against the idea of this documentary being shared, especially because of the footage that's involved. And it's something to be said about what happens when, especially now in this day and age, you have social media, you have a lot of things being recorded, right? And you get older, you have a family, you have a job, but yet now you have things from the past that resurface, and now it's like, what do you do? You know, like, do you have the right to be able to stop people from sharing these things after the fact? And what's the impact of that to you, especially when, for whatever happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? You're a lot of times we're different people from when we were teenagers or younger or whatever case may be, or even young adults. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. Like, you know, it's something that continuously following, because it definitely has struck a nerve.
And like the other day, Brother Marcus D. King on Facebook shared, y'all worried about Freaknik. You need to be glad they didn't have cameras watching you in those empty rooms at Vacation Bible School, revivals, and late night musicals. The Churchnik, LOL. And it's like, again, you know, we can get real sanctimonious about, oh my God, these people out there, and they just, even if these women were choosing to bend over and let their vagina be all over these VHS tapes, or choosing to have public sex, or whatever they were choosing to do, my issue is not the consent, the consensual acts that they were doing, it's the assault. And so I reposted what Brother Marcus King said and was like, and just like Freaknik, I wouldn't be worried about the folks engaging in consensual acts. I'd be worried about the truth coming out about your mama, pastor, minister, deacon, so-and-so, daddy, who have violated and assaulted members and their children and are still hiding within church walls. When is that documentary going to come out?
That one comes out.
Because the other thing is, it ain't just the Catholic Church.
Oh, definitely. Oh.
It ain't just the Catholic Church.
It definitely is not just the Catholic Church.
And it ain't just like, oh, well, yeah, it may have happened at that church, but it's just, you know, this is the one off. And it was that guy that was he just came off the street. It wasn't just that either. It's happening in the pulpits to this day.
Mm-hmm. Don't hurt the feeling, man. So what's this other topic that you...
All right. So last one. We got to talk about the things. I feel like there's a lot. I ain't never heard this man's name in my life. And I don't even know if I'm going to say it right. There's a Moroccan football player. Soccer for y'all Americans.
Yes, yes.
Achraf Hakimi, excuse me, sorry if I'm not saying that right, who is now estranged from his wife, Hiba Abouk, excuse me, that's, and in the midst of a divorce. Now, he has been indicted for raping someone. Doesn't mean he's guilty, but just to put that out there. But it's been headline news because they're going through a divorce and she asked for half. And come to find out that 80% of his wealth is in his mother's name. So she won't be able to access it. And it became headline news for me on my social media pages, because there are some men out there that are like, that's genius. She's a gold digger. And I'm like, now. There's a lot there.
There's a whole lot.
Because
cool, mama got a whole lot.
With if we're there, and it's like, it's genius that he hid his money from his spouse, who also, and they also have a child. And y'all be like, oh, that was, because I'm like, oh, just the face value of that storyline. But then you go deeper. You go deeper and find out that, again, you know, he's been indicted. So allegedly he is a rapist and she's divorcing him. And it seems to be like around the same time as like that this is all happening. So maybe she believes it. Maybe she knows. Maybe she knows that there's more. Maybe not. Maybe just the idea of it happening, even if he's innocent, is too much. Whatever the case might be, we don't really know what goes on between them. But it don't look good. And also, to call her a gold digger when she's actually a very well-off actress. So maybe she's trying. She was trying to prove a point by asking for half. Or yeah, she just deserves it because she was his spouse and mother of his kid. You know, all those things. But then here's the thing. So I've seen kind of a couple of different things, but there are a lot of what the story is saying is that he was 19 and she was like 31. So legal, but creepy at the very least. Okay. I've also seen that he was actually 24 and she was 31. Little better, not my preference to be dating somebody that young. I mean, you know, but I do believe if he was 19 and she was 31 and then the roles were reversed, it would be like, he's a predator. Oh my God, she was 19. And I haven't really heard many people. I had on my timeline, I got really good people on my timeline because I curated that way. You could do the same if you don't like what you see, you can just unfollow people. But there have been people on my timeline, but in like the social media world, I haven't really heard much of them saying like, yeah, I mean, yeah, he was legal, but this is kind of looking at her funny. Because what 31-year-old has anything to do with a 19-year-old? Like, for real? I got young siblings. I'm 40. My brother is 26. My 4-year-old nephew is his son. I don't look 40. At least that's what they say when they're trying to fuck me, and they're 27. I might, and they're just saying that because they're hoping it'll work. It's not. But I've had guys that be like, yeah, you know. No way, you're not that old. Like, I mean, it's whatever. But and for me, it's like, yeah, you a cutie. Because I'd be like, oh, you're a baby. No, I'm not. I'm a grown man. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, technically you are. But I'm not going to look at you that way. I have a 26-year-old brother and a 22-year-old sister. And she's beautiful. Like, and I don't even want her dating you because you're so over. But, you know, so from that, and so then I started thinking, right, because it's like, well, let's say, you know, if he was 19 and he was 31 and, you know, I think he started playing soccer when he was like, you know, maybe it wasn't him being genius and maybe it was that his mom was controlling his finances because of all this and he was like really, really young. So that's possible.
That's awesome.
Right. But then I'm like. Because she's the response, you know, he's an adult. So it's not like illegal for her to marry a 19-year-old. But then it's like the idea of what kind of 19-year-old really wants to be with a 31-year-old.
Well,
and maybe I'm reaching.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of relationships out there where there's that age gap. And, you know, some people enjoy what they enjoy despite the differences. I mean, I don't know.
But I wonder, and maybe, you know, not that because you ain't never done that, but as the man on the podcast to help me understand, like, because I don't want to paint a broad stroke of like, oh, that's mother issues, but it kind of seems like it might be in a lot of ways. I feel like a lot of guys could and do have these mother issues, and maybe it's the age thing, maybe it's other things. In their dating life that are reflections of a at least very toxic, unhealthy, codependent, maybe even abusive relationship with their mother.
I think it just depends on what's the relationship, what is the relationship, right? Because, I mean, there are people who are attracted to each other. They may date for a little bit, whatever. It may not lead to marriage. It may not even lead to like anything long-term, right? So, at that point, it's like, well, is that really a big deal that if I'm, like you said, 31? Now, granted, I still acknowledge the fact that a 31-year-old and where they may be in life versus a 19-year-old where they are in life are two separate things, right? You may have someone who's literally just still in college, maybe, right? Or just finished high school, a little, you know, and are just trying to figure things out for themselves versus you have someone who's 30-something who, again, may have already started kind of building their career, right? Maybe not, but it does beckon what ties those people together, right? Because eventually at some point, yes, opposites can attract, but there's still things that exist between those two people that allow them to still come together, right? So is it impossible that those relationships can't work? No. Is there opportunities for predatory behavior? Of course. We've seen it all the time. But I do agree that if it was reversed, that if it was her being the 31-year-old and him being the 19-year-old, then yeah, it would have been looked at as, you're taking advantage of him. you know, versus the other way around, it's not considered to be the case, which then makes you wonder, like, how much do we give young women the almost kind of like the expectation that, like, oh, you should know what you're doing by that age. You know, you should be able to make good decisions about your relationships and who you're dating and situations you get into, because that's just how it is. Versus a 19-year-old guy, he's not going to get that same. He's like, he's 19. What do you expect? So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the relationship gap part, but, you know, we'll find, this is one of those stories. We'll find out more and more as things happen.
Yeah, because it also, it's unsubstantiated.
Yeah.
But there are some reports that are saying that his mother actually didn't always control his finances or have that much, that he transferred it amidst the divorce.
Which is also, I mean, I'm not a legal expert, but and I
you know what? And we're dealing with different countries, so of course we don't know, and we ain't gonna look, and you know, whatever. But it's my thing was honestly, he's like, outside of all that and the calling her a gold digger and blah, blah blah, she's not gonna be struggling financially. She doesn't need his money. But the idea of, again, because this is being talked about, I don't know the actual dynamics of his relationship with his mother, but an unhealthy relationship from mom to son absolutely can and often does affect all of our relationships. But specifically, if you are a straight man, the relationships, sexual, romantic relationships that you have with women.
Yeah.
And maybe it is, you know, virtuous and just love that you fell in love with a 31-year-old woman. But, you know, as we're interrogating our internal world and the things that impact us and healing and stuff, maybe if you have a pattern, maybe you look at that and be like, why? Why is it that I don't like this certain thing, but I tend to always end up with this certain thing in a woman? Maybe it's something. It's like the idea of red flags, and this is a red flag, this is a red flag, and not realizing I can look back and see the red flags in past relationships. I may have felt like something not right, but I wouldn't have necessarily seen it as a red flag in a relationship. That's why I stayed. Because the red flag was really familiar, because it was reminiscent or exactly the same of familial trauma. And so it's like to shame people, like, you don't know any better. That's a red flag, this, any other, blah, blah, blah. It's like, we gotta be able to acknowledge that it's like, okay. So if love is a frequency, right? But that frequency is going to be based on the love, the type of love that I was taught. So I think love is at the frequency of 365. Let's put a number there. But, you know, maybe that love is unhealthy, but I don't know that because it's all the love that I know. And I meet someone and the ideal number, you know, frequency of love is really at 576. That's ideal, healthy, you know, secure love, right? And so I meet this person, maybe there's chemistry, we're attracted, da da da, da, and I'm loving them at my frequency, they're loving me at their frequency. And maybe those frequencies really just are causing conflict. Now, ideally, maybe I'm on a healing journey and I'm growing and I'm this and the other, and I'm realizing that my love isn't really the healthiest. And if that person's committed, I'm committed and dedicated, then, you know, they can help. And I'm doing the work, but they, you know, because they have access and they know that frequency a lot more because of their upbringing, then we can, you know, they can help me to raise it. But maybe not. Maybe I don't know that that's healthy love. And so, because it's so uncomfortable, you can't play. I need you can't play with him and make those noises right now. Okay. Because it's so uncomfortable for me, because it's so unfamiliar, I reject it. And so, is it my fault? Because I didn't know. It just didn't feel right. You know that. Which is again, it's like intuition could be accessed through your feeling. But watching, praying, getting an alignment, healing, so that way your intuition, you can know the difference in your intuition and discomfort and intuition. And, you know, it's the science, it's spiritual, it's not just...
There's a lot to it.
Yeah. And so, but it's like, if we're using Akrav and his wife, and taking liberties with this story because it's being talked about, to think that, you know, maybe, not because his mom was evil, but because they taught him the love that they knew. And his mom was like a maid and his father was a street vendor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But because we live in a capitalistic society, that meant that him becoming a famous football star, making millions of dollars, you think he's worth like 80 million or something like that. He is now in another stratosphere financially than his parents were. And in the science of getting rich, talks about how, like, not that you can't love people without money, but you can't love them as well without it, because of the fact that we live in a capitalistic society. Not being wealthy means that we don't have access to loving people in the way that we could if we were, because you got money, you need money to buy things and to provide and this and the other. And so, like, a lot of what we deal with in interpersonal relationships in our families really just comes down to we live in a fucked up society and we don't have enough. And it's built to keep us from having enough. And that feels terrible that I can't give you what you deserve. And instead of taking that out on the system, we take that out on each other. And so love maybe has meant for my family and what I was taught, survival. And survival is important, but it ain't everything. For me, My frequency of love was, I struggled with an abandonment issue. So my frequency of love said, well, people who love me will stay. Doesn't sound bad, right? Yeah, but if they're abusing me and they stay, I was like, but they love me. Because they're staying. And the people who don't love me, they leave. That anxious attachment. For someone who might be avoidant, and they might have had a family that would maybe stable and maybe provided for their needs and were there physically, but did not attend to their emotional needs. And so they felt like they always had to be, they always had to go within, and they couldn't trust anybody with their emotions. And they learn how to cope with that. And it becomes overwhelming to feel emotions, or for someone else to express their emotions, or to see the anxiety of somebody else. And then they avoid and run because their frequency is different than mine. And neither one of them are healthy, because a healthy version of that would be secure attachment that says that we can co-regulate. I take responsibility for mine. You take responsibility for yours, but we can also help each other through regulating because we're there for each other. But I'm not necessarily codependent on you doing it for me. And we communicate, and sometimes, you know, I'm a little bit healthier in the sense that I can do a little, you might need more and I can give you that. Or we're healthy enough to say, I can't, and I need you to access that for yourself. Or you can, you know, and it's that kind of ebb and flow. That's what I'm learning. Still learning. I'm learning on the job. Yeah.
Lots of learning.
But a lot of it comes down to our upbringing. And I say mother, because this is, you know, we talking about his mom, but also because historically, even today, whether working or not, the mother usually is the one, the primary caregiver for children, whether that is working or not. But also because coming up in May, we are talking about healing the mother wound at my Reimagine Healing Circle. Dear Mama is what this one is called. Brunch and Healing Circle under my new, the Communion series. We're healing through communion with each other. And so there are a few tickets left. There's only 10 people. Very intimate, very sacred space. If you've never been to a healing circle, it is an indigenous practice. Both African and indigenous have healing circles. Native indigenous have their healing circles. It's the idea of creating sacred space because we heal, to not heal in isolation, but to heal in community, to share thoughts, ideas, feelings around any topic. But in this space, we're going to be talking about our mother wound. I know that everybody is coming. It's going to be a diverse, small, but diverse group. So I will be talking about what is the mother wound and how does that impact us, and what may it look like and how it may have manifested in you as a woman or man, because it's both into both and non-binary as well. However you identify, we want to try to cover and give room for you to also be able to share in that safe place where you are. Whether your mom is still alive or your mom is deceased, an ancestor, honorable or otherwise, to talk about the lineage of mothers and how, you know, the ancestral trauma that we carry, but more importantly, how we can heal, how we can begin to heal. Because we ain't gonna be able to do all this work in a couple hours, but how we can begin to heal, how we can start the journey if you haven't, be encouraged in continuing the journey. Because it is, you know, how we can encourage each other to make necessary decisions. I'm never going to tell you what to do, but I will support you to access that inner knowledge for yourself and to trust what you need and that you know what you need and that you have the ability to get it in a healthy way. And so you can go to lucelania.com/dearmama. And if you are on YouTube, you won't see it in just a minute at the bottom of your screen. And purchase your tickets. It's going to be in Baltimore City. The address will be given to all of the people who are coming. and you're going to get a gift. Every person will also get free, included with your ticket, the ebook that I am writing, or I've written it, it's done, about healing through inner child healing. And so you'll also get that, as well as months of brunch and mimosas.
Yes.
So I look forward to seeing y'all there. And I thank you all for having purchased your tickets, for those of you who have. And we're going to end with that because it's a lot. I love y'all.
All right.
So, you know, thank you if you're still here. Thank you for being here.
Yep.
And as always, signing off, be as radiant as the sun. Adios. Bye.
Bye.
If you're still here, thank you for watching. Please like and share and subscribe so others can watch too. Have a good one. See you next week.